Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's so good to see everybody here on a Sunday morning. Amen. Do you love the Lord this morning? Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know if my battery's going dead or what. Somebody say praise the Lord this morning. There we go. Praise God. Amen, amen. It's so good to be here in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. I'm going to go ahead and get our announcements out of the way. Amen. Before we start our music this morning. Praise the Lord. Don't forget about our church app. If you are still having issues with that or any problem, be sure to get with one of our members of our tech team. Amen. And they can get you sorted out on that. Praise the Lord. Let's not forget about Thursday and Friday, April 16th and 17th, our 2026 Ladies Joy Conference. The sign-up sheets for the events are going to be out in the foyer. Sunday, April 19th, there's going to be a special PM service. The saints speak. Amen. Let's not forget about the upcoming wedding. I believe that is today. Amen. Sister Marlene, Brother Josh, praise the Lord. There's a table still out there in the foyer if you still want to bless them. I mean, I'm sure they would appreciate that. Let's not forget about Monday, April 20th and 22nd at 6:30 to 7:30 in the Blast Kids area, the Kids Crusade, amen, with Brother Kevin Merriman. The ages of that are going to be 4 to 14, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we have had a blast with our Easter contest, and so at this time, I'm going to get Brother Ronnie to go ahead and come on up, and he's going to give us some information on that. Praise the Lord.
Well, it looks like Wednesday night almost. But I'm sure glad that y'all could be here so we can have church. But the contest ended last week, and all the fanfare and the crowd, I didn't have time to come up here and give the results, but the blue team is the winner. They had 718 points, and the red team had 468 points, and it was all the offering. That blue team had the biggest offering ever Sunday, and the three winners of the contest were Dexter Dozier, had 18 people. And the next two are tied, Taylor Malone and Aaron and Katie Poole. So we'll work out what we're going to do on the checks there, but we'll have them for you next week. But just wanted to tell you that everybody worked hard, and we had a lot of visitors. And I don't know, all it takes is one visitor that stays, and that's all that counts. But God bless you, and it was just a wonderful time. We had some fun.
Amen. Can we all stand all across this house this morning? The psalmist said, Psalms chapter 100, verse number 4, the Bible says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. The gates a lot of times were the entrance at the city. And so I tell you this morning that if you're standing here in this tabernacle this morning, then you've already made it into the gates. Amen. The next thing it says is that we are to enter into his courts with praise. The courts were a little bit closer to the presence of the Almighty God. And so I ask you this morning that as we've already entered into the gates, the next thing we need to do is enter into his courts with praise. I don't know about you this morning, but I want to offer up a praise unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. So as this worship team begin to sing, let's enter into his courts with praise this morning.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. time. Jesus. You're so good to us, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So good to be in service on a Sunday morning. Amen. Turn to someone, tell them, I love you, and you look great today. Amen. Yeah, amen. Now, if they don't belong to you, don't tell them they look great today, right? Amen. You can still tell them that, but you know what I'm saying, though, right? Amen. So good to be in church this morning. God bless you for being here today. And we got a lot of folks out, people traveling, people sick, and that's just part of it. But I'm so thrilled to have you in service today. And I do want to say that we are praying for Lester. We love my friend, praying for him and his family. Lost his mother here a couple nights ago, praying for God to give them strength and during this time of need, in Jesus' name. And I do want to go to the Lord in prayer, and we're fixing to receive our tithe and offering, but I ask you to please be in prayer for all of our shut-ins, those who are sick in body, can't be here today, and God knows every need. Amen. You have a prayer request, lift your hands. The Lord knows every need here today. Let's just pray. God, we love you. Lord, you see every need represented today, Lord. We ask you, Lord, bring comfort today to the Lester family. We pray in the name of Jesus that you'd wrap them in your arms, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost do what only you can do, Jesus. God, we pray for every shut-in today, Lord. We ask you in the name of Jesus to touch them today, Lord. Give strength today to those who are sick, God. Keep your hands upon those who are traveling, Lord. But most of all, I pray, God, you'd bless this house today. Let your spirit, I pray, God, move in this house in a very special way. Touch us, oh God, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Everyone said amen. Amen. Ushers, you now come. Amen. Thank you for your giving, your faithfulness and giving. God bless you today as you give. Worship with our team. Amen. As they sing one more song. Let me just say this in case Brother Kelso didn't mention this, and he may have, and just echo this, that there is no Sunday evening service tonight. I have to perform a wedding over in McKinney, and so we're super excited for Josh and Marlene getting married today. And it's going to be a great day for them. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name.
I have this confidence because just lift our hands to Him right now. We love You, Lord. We worship You, God. We trust You, God. We depend upon You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Blessed be Your name, God. Blessed be Your name, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. He's so good to us. Amen. He's been better to me than I've been to Him. Hello. Amen. Amen. But James, that's sounding good in that guitar right there, man. Crank that thing up. Good God Almighty. Amen. Amen. God is so good. So glad you're here today. If you're a guest today, thank you for coming. It's good to have Brother Martin, my friend. Love you, man. So good to see you. And if you're a guest, we love and appreciate you. And our prayer is always the same, that you leave blessed, you leave encouraged, convicted, whatever the Lord wants to do. That's our prayer for you today. Amen. So thank you for coming to the UPC of Paris today. And let's just pray before we get started. Lord, we love You. Thank You, God, for Your word today. We ask You, God, to anoint us, to speak to us today. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. I'm not going to read a typical text this morning. I'm just going to go right into my message. And I'm preaching a message today entitled, From Was to Is. You may be seated. Faith shows, according to Hebrews 11, faith shows the reality of what we hope for, and it is the evidence of things that we cannot yet see. The writer of Hebrews would also write that it is impossible to please God without faith. He said anyone who wants to come to God, he must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who diligently or sincerely seek Him. It was, according to the writer of Hebrews, it was by faith that Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, which is modern day Iraq, in pursuit of God's will. It was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren, the Bible says, and too old to have children. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. It was even by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorposts so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. It was also by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though it were dry ground. But Scripture says when the Egyptians tried to follow after them that they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days and the walls came crashing down. The writer of Hebrews said, how much more do I need to say? He said it would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. He said, by faith, it was these people who overthrew kingdoms. They ruled with justice and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the flames of fire. They escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness, the Bible says, was turned to strength. And they became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. He said women even received their loved ones back again from death. All over that word we call faith. While literally everyone hid in fear, it was by faith that a young shepherd boy named David stepped into a valley called Elah, and he challenged the Goliath of that day, and by God's supernatural provision and help, he prevailed, and Israel was victorious on that particular day. It was by faith that the Apostle Peter, as we know him, he stepped over the side of a boat and he walked on water towards Jesus. It was by faith that that little lady with the issue of blood made her way to Jesus. It was by faith that a blind man named Bartimaeus cried out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me," all in an effort to get Jesus to stop where he was headed to heal his eyes. It was by faith that four men tore off a roof in an effort to get their friend to Jesus for a healing touch. And not only did he get a healing touch that day, but his sins were forgiven. You see, it was by faith that in July of 1950, evangelist G.A. and Vesta Mangan arrived in Alexandria, Louisiana, a city with a population of roughly 35,000 people. I think we have a picture of that we can put up there, of roughly 35,000 people at the time. And G.A. and Vesta Mangan began leading a small group of about 40 people. They were absolutely consumed with reaching as many souls possible for the name of Jesus. They began Sunday school roots in 1953, and 2 years later, the church at the corner of 16th and Day Streets was built. By the next year, 3 years into their tenure, they were averaging an attendance of 281 people. Music programs and new ministries all worked to create more growth with the Mangans. When the church building at 2817 Rapids Avenue was dedicated on May 2nd, 1969, some 19 years after their arrival in Alexandria, their attendance had grown to 691 people. 1972, this is the one I love, 1972 marked the beginning of an unbroken 365-day-a-year, 24-hour prayer chain that continues to this very day. Today, if you walk in the Pentecostals of Alexandria, you'll see an average membership of over 3,000 people. But it all started when someone by faith stepped out and they went to a place that God was calling them to go. It was by faith that Reverend Billy and Shirley Cole went to Thailand as missionaries, and in 7 years they baptized nearly 6,000 Buddhists in the name of Jesus, and we thank God for that this morning. Amen. Brother Cole, he was greatly known all over our Pentecostal movement, and he preached many camp meetings and revival services and saw many filled with the Holy Spirit. And the last 10 years of his ministry, he preached crusades at home and overseas on 16 different occasions. More than 3,000 received the Holy Ghost in a single service. The Coles preached for 50 years and were just short of seeing 1 million receive the Holy Ghost. But it all started by somebody stepping out by faith. It was by faith that Reverend, as I preached about several months ago, that Reverend C.P. and Ella Lee Kilgore traveled and preach this glorious gospel. And for 3 years, they didn't receive one single request to come preach. It was faith that they followed God's leading. During their first 3 years, if you read the history of them, during their first 3 years as traveling evangelists, they were in abstract poverty. And instead, it was simply faith that began to open doors for them in Arkansas and Missouri and Oklahoma and in Texas. Their biographies say that they spent together some 2 to 4 hours every day in prayer, bombarding the throne of heaven. Brother Kilgore, years ago, I heard Brother James Kilgore tell these stories, and years ago he had a long station wagon car, and he wrote scriptures all over the windows of those cars, and one in particular he wrote was, "Have you obeyed Acts 2:38? They built brush arbors. They sold tents for tent revivals. They lived again in almost unimaginable poverty for the sake of spreading the gospel. It was in 19 and 23 that their 6-month-old son, Bill, he passed away from pneumonia right here in Paris, Texas. You can read it on the old archives of Deport News. And he passed away as Brother Kilgore was trying to build a church in Cunningham, Texas, in Lamar County. And Brother Kilgore had no money to go buy a coffin, so he went to the local lumber yard and he purchased the lumber and he built his own boy a coffin. And Sister Kilgore sit in the same rocker where she had held baby Bill for 3 days before he passed. And there in that same rocker, she sewed the lining that would go inside of his coffin. And they went out to a lonely cemetery and they buried their baby in a lonely place. And they could have went back home and called it quits. He could have given up and said, "I tried, but nothing happened." He could have stopped and said, "If this is what I get, then I'm out of here." But instead, it was by faith that he kept on preaching. It was by faith that he stayed the course, never really realizing he passed away in 1959. I went to his grave just last night. He passed away never really realizing perhaps the full impact they would have on this Lamar County. But some of you in this house even today are direct descendants of people who came from a harvest that was instilled some 60, 70, 80, 90 years ago nearly from the elder Kilgores. We thank God for people who by faith they moved and they operated with the Lord. If you study his biography, reports say that 1,000 people would come to his baptismal service when he would have baptisms. Records indicate that Brother Kilgore alone baptized more than 10,000 people, and more than 10,000 received the gift of the Holy Ghost in his 44 years of ministry. I thought to myself this morning, I said, I wonder if the elder was here today, and if I were to ask him, "Elder Kilgore, would you leave with us just one scripture that's anchored you all of these years? Would you mind leaving with us just one verse of scripture that has helped you move through the unknowns of life?" I personally believe it's just an opinion that he would maybe step to this pulpit and he would open up that great book called the Bible, and he would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 and he would read that simple verse, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." We walk not by what we see. We walk not by what we can accomplish by our own ability, but we walk by faith, knowing if God be for us, it matters not who is against us. Amen. It was by faith that you and I obeyed the gospel as prescribed in Acts 2 and 38. It was by faith that when you prayed the prayer of faith and watched as God healed a diseased body, not because of you, but because of your faith in his word, it was by faith that you seen these results. But it's on this Sunday morning in April of 2026 that I want to turn it around, if I could today, to where we are. And we've talked for a few minutes about it was by faith that all of these men, these great women over the past 2,000 years in recorded history, they have seen, and many more who have seen God's mighty hand at work. And while I'm very thankful for all of the was by faith stories, I want to remind us today that God has not ran out of resources, that God has not ran out of his abilities. And with God's help, in the name of Jesus, I want to keep at the forefront of our minds that God is still rolling stones away, that God is still doing the impossible, that God is still working among his people. And I want to bring to our attention that the stories we tell are not one and done stories, but they are faith builders that bring us courage. My job today is to preach to you from was to is. It was by faith that these great pioneers saw the wonderful acts of God. But we're no longer there. And while I can draw strength from their stories, while I love to read stories and heard personal firsthand accounts of my late great uncle, missionary Harold Perdue in Colombia, how it was by faith in that service one night he told us that he saw a blind man walk up or led to the front who had only the white of his eyes. He had no pupils. He said, I watched as God formed pupils in that man's eyes. What a God. While I love the stories of how it was by faith, as I've told you before, and I won't belabor it today, but it was by faith that I personally got to witness the boy who was strapped to a wheelchair and he couldn't walk. And on a Wednesday night, I saw God instantaneously heal that boy as he took off running around the church. I love the stories of how it was by faith that Elder C.P. Kilgore was riding a train across Missouri when the Holy Ghost spoke to him and said, you're to get off right here. And he got off that train. He went to a town and he brought his wife and his kids, started working, raising money, building tents to have revival in. And for 4 months, nobody came to his services. And finally, on the fourth month, he apologized to his wife and said, babe, it looks like I missed the will of God. I thought for sure God spoke to me to come to this community and start a church. And the day he was supposed to leave, a lady walked up to his house and knocked on his door and said, are you the preacher that's new in town? He said, yes, I am. She said, well, my husband is laying dead here at the funeral home. Would you mind coming and praying for him? Pretty hard thing to go do on your fixing to leave day. And Elder Kilgore in the 1920s stepped out of his house, walked down to a morgue to a man who was dead in a coffin and laid hands on him, and God raised that man up and the revival started. Why? It was by faith that he stepped out and he moved with God. I'm telling us today that it is by faith that we will not just be a church who only talks about the days gone by, but it is by faith that we will see, even in this day, cancer healed in this church. Four of y'all believe it, but get cancer and you want God to heal you too. God is the healer of the body. God is the healer of the mind, of the soul, of the spirit. And God can still rebuke cancer on a Sunday morning. And God can dry up everything in the body that's opposed to him. Come on, somebody. I've seen it happen. I've watched God do it. I know. I'm not preaching a story in the Bible. I've seen God heal people of cancer. And I'm telling you, God can heal you today of cancer. God can dry it up in your body today. God hasn't ran out of his ability to heal. God hasn't taken off from restoring people's health. It is by faith that we can still see diabetes healed. Now, I believe you need to obey the laws of health and you shouldn't eat 58 cheeseburgers because God ain't going to do what you can do. Amen. But if you're doing what you can do and doctors can't do anything else, God can step in and do what you can't do. I just have faith that God can do things like that, and it is His will for us to see and to believe and to experience. It is by faith that we will see God heal little physical hearts in this church. God can turn around heart disease like that. God can put a new heart in somebody. I see it.
I don't
believe that. I can take you the guy, I got his phone number, Clayton Nugent, who his liver was ate up with cirrhosis. He was not given much hope. He was down to a rail. He had to be helped to walk anywhere. And in a service, the lady behind him, Sister Warren, walked up to him and said, "Brother Clayton, the Lord spoke to me and said, do you believe He can give you a new liver?" And he said, "Yes, ma'am, I do." And about 3.5 weeks later or so, he went to the doctor and his numbers were going up. And the next time he went back, the doctor said these words, "If I didn't know any better, I'd say you got a brand new liver." It is by faith that these things still happen today. Jesus said, "If you believe, you will see the glory of God." I ask you today, what do you need God to do? I ask a more important question, because this is the kicker. What do you have faith for God to do? It is by faith that I will see the miraculous in this place. It is by faith that you will see God at work on your behalf. In Mark 9:23, Jesus tells a father who's got a boy who is vexed by a devil. He said, "Everything is possible for one who believes." So it is by faith that our sons and our daughters are coming home. We pray in faith that God would stir them, that God would move on them. We pray that God would pull them from the flames of hell. We pray in faith that God would reach way down to wherever they are on this road of misery, and that He would turn them around. And I just believe that the Lord, you can call me crazy, I really don't care, but the Lord can put seemingly, supposedly rocks in a bed of somebody so they can't sleep tonight, and the Holy Ghost can begin talking to them again. The Lord can start moving on them again. Evangelist Nick Mahaney, he may preach for us someday. He can tell you the story himself. He was strung out on drugs, overdosed in Arkansas, and his daddy, the late Elder Charlie Mahaney, was in Arkansas praying for his boy, and the Holy Ghost gave him a vision to where his son was located. He went to his house, got him out of the house, took him to rehab, and now he's an evangelist of the gospel, preaching. Why? Because somebody in faith believed that God is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask for. I dare a mama right now, I dare a daddy right now to believe, my daughter's coming home, my son's coming home. It is by faith. There will come a day, if you believe, if you'll keep the faith. Everyone said keep the faith. If you'll keep the faith, that you'll be able to tell the stories of that. It was by faith that I saw God do what seemed impossible. I encourage you this morning, however, though, until those testimonies come, we preach to our future. I rise today to tell this great church that the Lord, I believe, wants some of us, if not all of us, to get our faith back out, to dust off whatever it is that's been holding faith back. Clean it up, shine it up, get rid of the mockery of the doubt, of the confusion, cut the head off of doubt and despair and gloom and doom. This is not fairy tale. This is not some genie in the bottle. The Lord still operates. The Lord still moves. The Lord still does go where we can't go. The Lord still does miracle signs and wonders. And my objective for the next few minutes is to tell you it is the will of God.
God, for you to preach to your future by faith and call those things that are not as though they were. You are to preach to your future by faith. You are to testify to your future. You testify like it's already happened. You say it like it's already happened. It's by faith that the word of God becomes activated when you move with it, when you operate with it. God is looking for people today who will step out in faith, who will move in faith from was to is.
You got me. Probably shouldn't say this, but I probably am half crazy, and I'm fine with that. But I'm a believer now. Sometimes I don't have crazy faith, and some days I do have crazy faith. But I am a believer that if it's God's will that you get what you ask for in faith, then you should ask for it. Brother Mike and Brother Weiss believe that. Okay, I'm going to say it again. If it's God's will for you to ask for it, well, then you should ask for it in faith. I told the Lord some years ago, and this is crazy, I know, and I almost didn't say this for fear of being labeled something that I'm not, but I'm going to say it anyways. I told the Lord years ago, I said, I want to be debt free by the time I'm 40. Now, that's crazy, I know that. And also understand that God isn't going to fix some of our goofy mistakes that we make. It wasn't God's fault for some of the poor decisions I made when I was younger financially, amen. God didn't do that to me. God didn't force me to do that. But when I tell you, it matters that you follow God's leading because He sees all things. He knows all things. In case you didn't know it, some of you may have missed this, but He still knows the future and you don't. Amen. He knows all things. You can try to predict, you can follow the markets, you can think, you really don't know. God knows all things. I was convinced, now I'm just telling you this, just hear me out, I'm going to prayerfully build your faith. I was convinced I was going to buy a home outside of our city limits where we pastored in little old days out of Texas. I was driving back, Brother Martinez, from Liberty, Texas one day. I crossed the bridge and the Lord, believe it or not, He impressed, spoke, however He deals with you, He dealt with me and He told me, you're not to move outside the city limits, you're to stay here and buy a house here. And I thought, my God, I just didn't want to stay inside there. I want to go outside. I want to get something else. And I had no idea, Brother Lester, that my future prayer of asking God to allow me to become debt-free by 40 was tied to obedience to His word. I was so convinced, hear me out now, I was so convinced I was going to build a house inside that town. I just had it in my mind, I'm going to do this. Me and my wife went to the Houston area, looked at all these houses and things we could try to build, different ideas. And the Lord sent a preacher from Turlock, California named Tony Koppel, who matter-of-factly told me on Bobcat, I didn't take you where we were driving, on Bobcat Lane, and said, you don't need to build a house. I thought, well, my God, I can't leave the city limits and now I can't build a house. He said, what you need to do is find a house here in town and just remodel it. And I thought, no. And he said, there's got to be plenty of houses. And I thought, bro, you're in Turlock, which is a beautiful coastal city in California. Have you ever driven through Dayzata? They ain't making houses in this town, man. So truth be known, I left that conversation respectful, but probably halfway ticked off that I realized I probably shouldn't be building a house because it was out of my budget anyways. Thank God for a man in his 50s and 60s who had wisdom to tell me, calm down, kid. Now, if you would have seen about a few days later, someone told us about this home we did buy. It was for sale. Now, if you would have walked into the house the first time with me and Jenna, you would have thought these kids have lost their minds. Because it was horrendous. I'm not talking about livable. It was not livable. Am I lying, Jenna? No, I ain't lying. Walked in a back bedroom. They had an old bed in there. They had dog food spread across the bed, and the dog was eating all that. I thought, what are we doing? This can't be God telling me just to trust me. I know what I'm doing. And I thought, man, this is horrible. The inside, it smelled horrible. You can get the picture of that. It was horrible.
The backyard was a thicket. It was grown up. It was horrible. I've told you it had the old in-ground pool, but it wasn't pretty like it is now. It was ugly, horrible. Hadn't been taken care of. It was broken down, an old broke-down back porch. It was a mess. Grass grew up this high. Dogs everywhere. And if you like dogs, God bless you. But there was dogs everywhere. And it was just like, man, why are we going to do this? I'm going to say this again. I never knew while all of this was happening that this was tied to a future prayer. Some 6, 7, 8 years later, we bought the house for a very, 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 very low cost, as you can imagine, according, especially compared to today's housing market. 4 bedrooms, 2 baths, an office, and a pool in the backyard. Now, that sounds cool in the market, but it wasn't cool then. God blessed us to even build I don't have time to tell you. I'm trying to build your faith, and I'll build in a few minutes. But God blessed us to build an outdoor kitchen that cost me $200 to build. It's pretty cool investment. A multi-millionaire, a guy in Houston area, heard this crazy preacher, he wants these huge beams for his backyard kitchen. And I guess he thought if he's that crazy, he can come have mine. So I drove to Anahuac, Texas, pressure washed a bunch of crazy beams. Hauled it back to Day's Edit. We built a backyard. Now, I'm going to say all of this, that this little rundown house turned, in my opinion, to be the most beautiful home, especially the backyard and all of Day's Edit. So much so that we had friends visiting from all over. Woke up one day, and I wasn't in a place to meet anybody of quote-unquote high status in life, if you want to call it that. And this guy called me and said, hey, I got a friend over here that wants to see your backyard. I said, well, my God. I said, well, come on over, man. And when I walked outside the door, I didn't know it was the CEO, the former CEO of P.F. Chang's. Anyone right there before? It's a pretty good place. And then he had just left there and went to GameStop. If you're a gamer, he was a CEO for GameStop. Had just retired from GameStop because he invested highly, highly in the stock market. And you can figure that out. And here I am looking at people, and I thought, if you'd have been here 5 years ago, big dog, I promise you wouldn't be in my backyard. You would have ran from this place because it was absolutely a mess. It was absolutely horrible. Even the governor's cousin came down and wanted to see what this place looked like. And I'm freaking out thinking, man, why? What's this all about? And I had no idea until I was fixing to sell it. And I realized maybe God knows what he's doing when he tells you, just listen to me. Hello? Now, for all of you think I'm rich, you're lying and going to hell. Okay? Because I felt that. Well, man, God, no, I ain't either. That was the lie. But I do know enough to know this, that the Lord allowed us to buy something that seemed like insignificant. It seemed like nothing to me. And the Lord said, if you'll just listen to me, if you'll listen to that preacher who told you, don't need to do this, I know it sounds crazy right now, but in the end, God beat it by a year that God allowed us to become debt free. I'm not saying to toot my horn. I'm trying to tell you, it was by faith. And the Lord wants you to know today that impossible things still happen, that God can still operate, that God can still meet you at the point of your need, that God can still come to where you are and make a way where there seems to be no way. He just needs to know, what do you have faith for? What do you believe me to do? If you can believe, you can see mountains move. If you can believe, you can see Red Seas part. If you can believe, you can see doors open. It was by faith that Elijah, he prophesied a 3.5-year drought, and it happened. It was by faith that Elijah, he told a little lady who had no food left in the house, if you'll just go get some vessel, or if you'll just fix me a cake, your oil vessel will never run dry. And the Bible says the entire time of the famine, because she was obedient to what God was telling her, her and her son had enough food and enough oil in the house to last through the famine. It was by faith that that little woman of Zarephath, whose boy lay dead at the house, that Elijah came back and stretched himself over the child, and God brought a miracle. It was by faith that Elijah called fire down from heaven at Mount Carmel. It was by faith that the prophet of God, he caused the rain to fall
after he prayed for 3.5 years. It was by faith that Elijah, the Bible says, he was a whole lot faster than Usain Bolt. The Bible says he outran Ahab and his chariot back to the city. It was by faith that Elijah, he called down fire from heaven to destroy the two captains and their 50s of men who was sent by King Ahazi. It was by faith that Elijah, he parted the Jordan River when he smote it with his cloak. What a powerful life God used for his glory. But on the heels of Elijah, there was a man named Elisha. He didn't have any of his own stories yet. He was simply following behind Elijah. And by faith, Elisha, he follows after Elijah. The Bible says he saw him when he was taken up by the chariots of fire in the whirlwind. He grabs a hold of the man of God's mantle and he makes his way back to the Jordan River. And now he stands at a dividing place. And I want to close with this today and tell this great people that there are people in this room today. You literally do stand at a dividing place of faith. You've seen the Lord move before. You have some was faith before, but there is a still a faith in your future that you can preach to today if you can somehow get beyond this dividing place. And the Bible lets us know that he looks back and he sees a life full of it was by faith moments from this man of God, Elijah. And here at the Jordan River, he moves from was to is. And when he took the mantle of Elijah, he smites the Jordan River and says, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And the Bible says when he struck the water, that the waters divided front from left to right, and he crossed over. I know it was by faith that all of these things came to pass. It was by faith that all of these things took place for that great man Elisha. And I want to preach today, please hear me today, that you may feel like you've got nothing left in the tank. You may feel like you're at a Jordan River, if you will, or a swollen river, if you will, and life is throwing all kinds of things your way. You've seen the Lord do great things in the past. You've seen the Lord do great works in the past, but somehow, somewhere your faith has been damaged. I'm challenging you today to somehow get in your spirit that it is by faith I will cross over this valley. It is by faith I will cross over this river. It is by faith I will cross over whatever it is that's trying to hold me back. I'm preaching to people today who feel like they're on the edge and wondering, what can I do? I'm telling you what you can do. You've got to get faith back in your spirit. You've got to get faith moving again. Faith has got to gain some legs and walk through the door and walk through the river. God help us today to move from was to is. I've met people who were good people, good believers. For whatever reason, they were hung up on how it was, how it used to be, what had happened in the past. And there's no, again, I want to repeat, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with gleaning from how it used to be. There's nothing wrong with having faith and knowing what God used to do. But for whatever reason, maybe years have passed by. Perhaps trials have passed by. Perhaps they feel like the Lord didn't answer the prayers they thought he was supposed to answer. Or perhaps they felt like God didn't answer in time. For whatever reason, their faith has been damaged. The Bible says, when it came time for Peter to deny the Lord, when it came time for Peter to make a horrible mistake, cut a guy's ear off, denied he knew Christ, the Bible says something so amazing to me. The Lord spoke to Peter and told him, "Peter, I have prayed for your faith. I pray that your faith fail not." Why? Because faith is the only gasoline, if you will, that we got on the inside of us that is powered by the Spirit. But if your faith gets wounded, if your faith gets damaged, if your faith gets set on a back shelf somewhere, it's hard to see anything happen in your life. It's hard to see anything move in your life. And the Lord, he wants to rekindle faith in you again. He wants to rekindle the supernatural in you again. It is the will of God. I'm just going to say some things right here as we close. You can come the keys. It
is the will of God that you do see things happen in your family. It is the will of God that you do see prayers be answered in your life. I'm not talking about something we read in the Bible. I'm not talking about something we read a book about. No, I'm talking about something you set your kids down and tell them, look what the Lord did for mama and daddy. Look what the Lord did for grandpa and grandma. Why? Because God is trying to raise up a generation who understands the value that this generation, elders, middle age, young, whatever, they can tell the kids, this is what it is. This is what God did. This is how God moves. This is what God does. The only way we get that, folks, is we've got to get our faith out of park, and we've got to move in the supernatural. We've got to move where the Lord is moving. Stop making excuses as to why you can't, and just get up and grab yourself, if you will, by the nape of the neck and say, we're going to do this thing called revival. We're going to do this thing called moving forward. We're going to do this thing seeing God move in our lives, in our families' lives. Let's all stand. There's an old chorus we sing that said, faith, faith, faith. Just a little bit of faith. What's the next line? It don't take a whole lot. Just use what you got. Everyone said faith. Everybody wants it. Or most believers do want it. I hope, I pray to God so. We desire faith. Faith is what keeps you going when nothing's moving. You ever wondered, I have a weird brain. You ever wondered how many years perhaps Moses prayed while he was in the wilderness? Homeboy got there at 40. He didn't know it'd be 80 before he left that place. He didn't know there'd be, I'm telling you, it ain't in the Bible, but it's a human mind. How many nights he would to God he'd have done things different. How many nights he regretted, he wished, he had the faith, he lost it all. But the Bible says, in God's divine timing, I don't know why God waited 40 years. The Bible says when he did speak to Moses, the old Pharaoh had died. Perhaps that was why. The Bible says he met him at a burning bush. He said, hey, Moses, I know you probably don't know what's going on here, but you're standing on holy ground. And I'm fixing to send you somewhere you never dreamed you'd go. I'm fixing to send you somewhere to do some crazy things you never dreamed you'd do. Anyone know the first thing Moses started doing? Not me. I can't speak. I ain't got the ability, God, to do that. Moses, I just need you to get some faith back. So how did God build his faith? Hey, Moses, what's that in your hand? It's just a rod. We'll just cast the rod down. The Bible said he threw it down. What happened to the rod? Turned to a snake. The scary part was the next part. I picked the rod back up. Was the rod still a snake? You go ahead and move in faith like that, brother and sister. Isn't it funny, though, how God was training that boy? Now, let me just stop right here. We don't believe in snakes in this church. There's devil snakes, but there ain't the real snakes up in this house, amen? Let me just throw that in there in case you're wondering, amen? But God was training that boy, I believe. This is how you handle some things right here. You're fixing to face a serpent called Pharaoh, and you're going to wonder, how in God's name can I defeat this one? Let me just show you. It's through obedience, Moses. Hey, Moses, just take your hand and put it inside your cloak. The Bible says he did that, and when he pulled it back out, it was light, white with leprosy. Now, in those days, leprosy was incurable. Freaked him out. And God said, all right, I'm teaching you faith. Just hang on. Put it back in. And the Bible said when he brought it back out, it was white. It was clean.
pure like a baby skin. But he still didn't believe. Hello? Anybody ever been in faith school? Anybody still in faith school? God's still teaching you faith, huh? You're looking at him right here. I still can't speak. Still ain't got it together. The Lord said, I knew that, son. I knew you always, you struggle with your faith. I know. And your brother-in-law, he's coming. Aaron's on his way. He'll be your mouthpiece. And he'll speak for you. And in those few days, however long it was, God began to build faith in a man. 40 years lonely. I am 100% sure he probably thought God had left him. Okay, now can we bring it to Paris and bring her on down? And there's people today, you may not be 40 years in the trial. It may be 3 years. Six months can feel like 10 years sometimes. But maybe there's people here today who's been 10 years in a long season. Oh my. You don't know how you move from, man, I remember it used to be and it was faith and I used to have this. But how am I supposed to say it is going to be when it ain't been for a long time? And I'm going to tell you today starts your journey back to getting faith back. And the first step it takes is by you acknowledging, Lord, I'm going to admit to you, I've lost, if you will, some of my faith. Let me just ask this. I ask it sometimes, but I feel to ask it again today. When's the last time you really got honest with the Lord? We're good at praising, and man, you all look wonderful today. You do. You look great. But lots of times on the inside, ain't nobody being fooled. Hello? And when you go home, man, you're still just mad at the world. And you say, hey, Brother Jim, good to see you. Love you, man. And you get home and you want to kill people. Anybody? I've told you, I know I could take you 13 years ago to a church in Bonware, Texas, when I needed God to speak to me and God didn't speak to me. I went home and I remember being angry. Not at God, but because this is what I told my wife on a bed crying. I said, why can't God just use somebody to come talk to me? Anybody been there before? See, we have a hard time. This is the honest class right now. Okay? Everyone good, kids? Anyone want to admit that you thought God walked off and left? We scared. I won't look at you. You raise your hand in your heart. Amen. There's been, I'll just tell on Brad, many days I thought God walked out on me. I knew he didn't, but my flesh lied to me. And I wondered, man, does he really care? You know what was happening to Brad? I'm going to tell you what was happening to me. It wasn't God leaving. It wasn't even God's spirit departing from me. No. It was my faith. My faith was damaged. My faith was low. So today, we're going to end this service by praying for your faith. Because there's people in this room who are walking in with faith that's on life support today. I know what I feel. You hear me. There's people in this house. Your faith is on life support. You're barely breathing today. Doesn't mean you're a sinner. Doesn't mean you're lost. No. It's just your faith has been wounded. Hello. And God wants to breathe some fresh air back in you again. There's an old song. You may sing it. I don't know. But an old song we used to sing that said, when he said live, I had to breathe. When he said dance, I heard heaven's melody. I don't know how many times that God in his mercy, brother, when I was about to, I'm talking about give up, it always seemed like at just the right time, he came by and said, I got you. It may have lasted for 6 months, and then 6 months later, Sister Houchin, I'm screaming again. It ain't fair. It ain't right. This ain't good. And once again, come through again. He's good at giving us great pit stops. Filling us up again.
And I'm telling you, hear me today in the name of Jesus. You may feel like you're abandoned. You may feel like God is forsaken. I'm telling you, He's not left you. You're not alone in this. But He does want you to have faith again. He wants you to speak again like you used to speak again. Somebody hear me. He wants you to pray again like you used to pray again. He wants you to worship again like you used to worship again. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, I pray for faith today. God, to be on every believer in this house. I pray for wounded faith. I pray for faith that feels like it's been abandoned today, Lord. I come against the devourer, the adversary, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray right now, God, you would come to those, God, who feel like, God, you somehow left them, that you somehow, God, walked out on them. God, we know you didn't do that, Lord. I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, you would dig up the roots, God, of doubt. You would dig up the roots of fear, the roots of confusion today, Lord. I pray that you would do what I can't do. I don't have the ability, God, but you do, God. God, it's not enough to have was faith, but God, it is going to be again. The sun is going to shine again. The walls are going to come down. There is going to be life again, God. There is going to be breakthrough again, God. There is going to be a release again, God. I pray right now. Somebody help me pray today. Come on, church, right now. The Holy Ghost wants to move in this service this morning. Come on, it is by faith that you'll step out today and you'll go a different direction when you get home. It is by faith. It doesn't mean it'll all be perfect when you leave here, but my God, go in a different direction than you came today. It is by faith that God is calling you out of where you've been today in the name of Jesus. Amen. As she begins to sing, I want to open these altars today. Amen. If you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost, you could experience that today before you leave. And that's where you get faith ignited in you. The Bible said, repent of your sins. Ask the Lord to forgive you. God will forgive you. Scripture says, be baptized in the name of Jesus and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If you don't have that, I encourage you today, seek after the Lord. Seek after Him today. Why don't we come pray, church? Help me pray today. Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Increase our faith, I pray, oh God, today. Let there be, oh God, an increase of faith in this house, I pray, in the name of Jesus. We pray, oh God, break through every chain. Break through, God, every wall, I pray, God. Break through every wall, I pray, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I pray, God, break every wall. Oh God, I pray, break every wall today.
And He gives you the
Come on, somebody, cry out to Him. He sees you today. He knows all about it today. Come on. It is going to be better. It is going to be right. God is going to make a way. God is going to come through for us. God is going to help us today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We speak life today. We rebuke death in this house. Oh God. Come on, somebody. God, I need you right now. God, I need you right now. God, I need you right now. God, I'm not alone, God. You're with me today, God. You said you would never leave me nor forsake me, God. You are my rock and you are my fortress, God. You are my strong tower, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus, right now, God. Right now, God. Right now, God, I pray.
I am not alone. I am not alone.
Bible says that he is no respecter of persons. God doesn't have favorites. God doesn't pick and choose who he loves. I mean, everyone is accepted. Everyone is loved the exact same way. The adversary who'll lie to you and try to tell you things like he cares for them more, they got more favor than you, that's not true at all. God doesn't play that game, amen? I mean, God sees you where you are, and God wants to rekindle. God wants to restore. God wants to heal the damaged faith inside of you. Let me just ask you to do something before we leave today. I ask you, I encourage you, let God in again. Well, what I mean by that, I know that's a simple elementary principle, but what I mean by that is we only let God in the doors that we want him to go in. But we'll bar him out of things that are still hurt, that are still damaged. But let God in again. And let God work on your faith again. Let God challenge your faith again. I'm telling you, you need to speak faith again over your life. I don't know how many times when I was really battling depression years ago, how many times I would speak to myself and say, Brad, out loud, Brad, you shall not die, but you will live. That sounds crazy to you. I know it does. But boy, in that moment, it wasn't crazy to me, brother. What was I doing? I was speaking to my future. I'm coming out of this somehow, some way. And by God's mercy and by God's grace, nothing to do with me, but God healed. God's still healing me. But he took me on a 12-year journey of freedom. I don't wish it on nobody. But in God's mercy and God's grace, he allowed me to experience whatever it was for whatever reason. But this day I can preach and tell you, I know where you are today. I know what you feel today. I promise you that. And you need to let God in again. Let God work again. I never forget, Brother Benny, and I'm done, the night God totally set me free. The next day. This is how your mind works. The adversary works. Anger wanted to creep in my spirit and say, why'd you wait 12 years for? Hello? And it's like, hey, dummy, he just set you free. But my flesh, my spirit man wanted to question God. And I've learned I can't question what God does. I have to trust what God does. You know what trust is? You ready for this? Everyone do this? Everyone do this. That's what trust is. Trust is letting it go. I wanted to fix it. I know you did, but let it go. I thought I had the answers. I know you did, but let it go. I know what's best. I know you think you know what's best, but let it go. And trust the Lord. God's going to help you again. Amen. God, we love you today. I pray bless this church. I pray, God, your hand be on this house today, Lord. I pray right now you would encourage faith today, Lord. Bless this house. Be with us, I pray, as we go our separate ways. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. You're dismissed.